Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang, and this is episode number 203. Today's show is part of our Fitness Friday series, and it's another great Fitness Friday program. We've got some excellent Fitness Friday news from the American Heart Association about the sad fact of today's exercise attitudes. And our guest today is with extreme skier Kristen Ulmer. You're very likely aware of who Kristen Ulmer is, and this is an exciting interview on a subject we all know probably too much about, fear. Kristen Ulmer will join us in just a moment, but first, our Fitness Friday news.
The Not Old Better Show Fitness Friday News.
Today's Fitness Friday news falls under the sad category of, come on, people. I don't mean to sound overly dramatic or in any way discouraging, and that I somehow have all the answers, but again, come on, people. The American Heart Association reports in a new study this week about high blood pressure that treatment preferences are more likely to not include daily exercise, but to take a pill or drink a cup of tea. Researchers wanted to find out how people weigh the benefits of high blood pressure treatment options against its inconvenience. They asked survey respondents to imagine that they had high blood pressure and then asked about their willingness to adopt any of four treatments to gain an extra month, year, or 5 years of life. In this survey, the treatments proposed were a daily cup of tea, exercise, pills, or monthly or semi-annual injections, a shot. The results showed that taking a pill or drinking a daily cup of tea were the preferred treatments, though some were unwilling to adopt any intervention, even if it meant gaining an additional year or 5 years of life. For each treatment, participants were more likely to say they would adopt it if the benefit were greater. So 79% of the respondents said they would be willing to take a pill for an extra month of life, 90% would for an extra year of life, and 96% would for an extra 5 years of life. 78% said they would drink a daily cup of tea for an extra 1 month of life, 91% would for an extra year, and 96% would drink it for an extra 5 years of life. 63% would be willing to exercise for an extra month of life, 84% would be for an extra year of life, and 93% would exercise if it meant an extra 5 years of life. As I mentioned, and as expected, injection, last on the list, clearly. So, cheerleading aside, if it's high blood pressure we're facing, cardiovascular disease, or other ailments, exercise has been shown time and again to be so beneficial. So, come on, people, let's get outside. It's just starting to get nice out. You know, spring has sprung, as they say, etc., etc. Let's get moving and let's get to the exercise we need in order to thrive. Okay, enough preaching. For those who don't know her, let me introduce Kristen Ulmer. Kristen Ulmer is a thought leader and fear specialist who draws from her tenure as the most fearless woman extreme skier in the world for 12 years, from studying Zen for 15 years, and from facilitating thousands of clients on the subject of fear and how it impacts your performance and your daily life. Her game-changing work has been featured on NPR, been featured in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, USA Today, Outside Magazine, and many more. Kristen Ulmer is the author of The Art of Fear, Why Conquering Fear Won't Work and What to Do Instead, which radically challenges existing norms about what to do about this misunderstood emotion.
Relationship with fear is the most important relationship of your life because it's the relationship you have with yourself at your core.
That, of course, is our guest today, Kristen Ulmer. Please join me in welcoming to the Not Old Better Show via Skype, Kristen Ulmer. Well, Kristen Ulmer, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
You know, I've read a lot about you. Of course, I've read the book. And in my research of you, you have this really great, very, very, I think, impactful way of personifying fear. And you say, however you treat fear, you treat yourself. You kind of go on to say, you know, if you're embarrassed about your fears, you're embarrassed about yourself. If you ignore fear, you ignore things and yourself. And I think that this idea of this relationship that we have with fear, kind of as you suggest, is the most important relationship in your life. Explain that, and in particular, talk about this idea of personifying fear.
I'm glad that we're starting here because it gives me a chance to use my favorite analogy, and this really sets the tone for our whole interview. So I love to personify fear. Let's see fear maybe as a child in your life. And there's good children and bad children. Like imagine that you're a parent and half your children are named joy, love, forgiveness, gratitude, and the other half of your children are named fear, anger, sadness, misery. Despite your best intention, would you be able to treat them all the same way? Probably not, right? Mm-hmm. So what we do is we love to nurture and show off to the world love and joy and gratitude. And, you know, it's really big to have a gratitude or forgiveness practice in America right now. And what do we do with these children on the other side? You know, fear, anger, like we put them out of our mind. I say we lock them in the basement. We throw away the key. We try to get rid of them. We fight a war with them. We try to conquer or overcome them. So now you've taken half your children. You've locked them in the basement and thrown away the key. And what's happening in the basement is that these children are very upset. I mean, how would you feel if you were locked in the basement for 10, 20, 50 years? And they're kind of burning the house down. And so that's what I address in this book, in particular around the subject of fear.
Yeah, I love that. I appreciate you kind of going into some detail because that just jumped right out at me. I think the other thing that jumped out at me is the title of your new book, The Art of Fear, Why Conquering Fear Won't Work, and What to Do Instead. I read the book. I loved it. I think my audience is going to love it. But we don't often think of fear as an art. So what do you mean by that?
Well, fear is such a huge part of our lives. Our lives are a work of art. You know, if you kind of have a repressive, dissociative approach to fear, if you avoid fear, like you don't either do scary things or maybe you work 70-hour work weeks just so you don't have to deal with your home life, which is scary or unpleasant, you could ignore fear. You just block it out. You know, like let's say back to that child locked in the basement, the child's like screaming and yelling, trying to get out of the basement. And if you ignore it, you know, it takes a lot of effort and energy to ignore that screaming child your whole life. If you try to control fear, you know, the adage, whatever you try to control winds up controlling you. Like there's just so much effort placed on not dealing with fear or blocking it out or seeing it as an enemy. And it's, you know, it works actually. A lot of people teach this, the conquering, overcoming fear method, modalities, even medications, if you know, need to resort to that. And it makes you feel better. You feel less fear. But it's at the cost of your future aliveness, the cost of your future well-being, because when you ignore something or control or avoid it, you give it kind of magical powers. So what I do is I help people turn towards their fear in an honest way, maybe for the first time in 50 years, help them make friends with it, end that war, and then all of a sudden, none of the problems associated with fear are in your life anymore, and only kind of all of the virtues of fear show up.
Yeah, I think that is really a very helpful way to look at it. That, as I say, that just jumped out at me within the book. And so I wonder if we can dive down a little bit into this idea of fear and talk about it at a very basic level. And of course, we've all experienced fear, whether as an extreme skier or just in our everyday lives. Why do we react the way we do when we perceive danger? You know, why do we run away? Why not just calm ourselves and think it through? Consider, you know, the wisdom that we might learn from fear. And again, as you say, kind of turn it into a friend, but make a plan and then execute it. It's a complicated subject.
It is a complicated subject. We've made it very complicated. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we react to fear this way is, of course, it's an unpleasant emotion. And us humans have a long history of avoiding anything unpleasant. But it's also explicitly taught in our society, even by fear experts, besides me. You know, there's a lot of people that teach that you've got to fight this war against fear. And it's so at this point, it's a learned reaction. And you know, all you have to do is look at pictures of your grandparents standing there stoically, like, you know, nobody was dealing with their emotions back in the 20s or, you know, and then that was taught to their kids. And now we're learning it too. And most of us have parents that when we were young and we said, I feel scared, they say, well, there's nothing to be afraid of, which is flat out not true. You know, life is a right. Very scary experience. Mm-hmm. And so we're all fear shamed. You know, we hide our fear. We pretend it doesn't exist. We're embarrassed by it. Well-meaning parents are trying to insist that there's nothing to be afraid of. It's not true. So, like I said, this is a long way of saying it's a learned behavior. We have learned to resist it, to repress it, to fight it, and it's just not working. It's not working anymore. It's causing so many problems for us.
So how do we take this fear and have it help us and help us come alive rather than repress it, bury it, and just be exhausted from trying to avoid it?
There are four different ways that I see people dealing with fear. And 99.99% of us are doing this first way. So pay attention to this. You know, what I've been explaining, where conquering, overcoming it, letting it go, meditating it away, all of that. And it works. It gives us temporary relief from fear. But it lasts for about 10 years that you can get away with this. Mm-hmm. And then your life just starts to go south. And all of a sudden, things show up in your life that don't make any sense, like depression or panic attacks or anxiety disorders, PTSD. On and on. So it's at the cost of your future aliveness that we do this. The second way that I see people dealing with fear is maybe they learn how to accept it. And that's definitely a step in the right direction. And acceptance, though, is kind of a little passive, like, okay, it is what it is. I wish it weren't so. There's nothing I can do about it, but so be it, right? And the thing is, you're still kind of intellectually dealing with your emotions. We're so in the habit of dealing with our emotions intellectually. Actually, emotional intelligence in our societies are seen as our ability to understand our emotions and control them, which to me is just crazy. So this second step is, it's not a step, it's just a step in second way that people deal with fear. It's a step in the right direction, but we're still in our heads. We're still dealing with our emotions intellectually. The third step is where we start to deal with our emotions emotionally. So this third way is where you learn how to feel your fear, have an honest relationship with that feeling. The fourth way that I've started to see that people are dealing with fear, and this is really profound, and I've only seen it with a few people, and they're the best of the best in the world, in their sports or businessmen and women. It's very, very new, where they're becoming intimate with their fear. And so that's kind of the journey that I take people along in the book, in The Art of Fear, and also when I work with people, is to get them from a repressive approach to fear to an intimate relationship with fear, so that all the kind of the strength and the wisdom and the clear vision and the energy and the awareness and the aliveness that comes from fear can naturally start to occur.
As a fear specialist, as a person who leads others down the path of kind of overcoming some of this and dealing with it and gaining some wisdom from fear, where did this first come about for you? I know about your skiing, of course. We all do and have just followed you as a fan for forever. But was it always such an easy thing for you to kind of make this shift and understand fear to be what it is and get out of it what we need?
Well, I'll tell you my personal story in just a little bit, but you just said the word, my buzzword, you know, overcoming this. Mm. And I want to make sure that people understand what we're overcoming, because what we're not overcoming is fear. Like, let's say we go and do something scary and then we do it. You know, we don't ever actually overcome the fear. The fear is actually there to help us become more sharp and focused and alive and bring our A game to that moment. The fear is actually there to help us overcome the situation. And so here's a tagline. We don't do things despite the fear. We do things because of the fear. We don't overcome fear. Like, that's not what happens. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so how that ties into my own personal story is I used to be considered the best woman big mountain extreme skier in the world for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And I was called fearless. And I didn't feel any fear, not what we perceive fear to be. I was making daily decisions, you know, of life or death decisions, and I was dealing with a tremendous amount of fear. And like I said before, you can get away with the repression of fear, which is what I was doing, for about 10 years, and then your life starts to come unraveled. And so after 10 years of repressing a tremendous amount of fear, I developed PTSD. I was really burnt out. I started having more and more injuries because I became such a rigid, stoic person to not deal with my fear. And I, you know, what do we know about rigid trees in a heavy wind? They break. Mm-hmm. And so I quit my ski career and I set out to figure out what had gone wrong. Like, how is it possible that I was so miserable when I had such a great life? I started studying Zen very intently, and almost immediately I realized, oh, I had been repressing fear in order to ski the way I wanted to, and that was causing me all these problems. So got to work on myself, and then I became a mindset sports coach helping people who were underperforming. And I learned that if they were underperforming, it was almost entirely because of their repression of fear. And then I started working with people with PTSD, depression, anxiety disorders, and I helped them make friends with fear, and all their problems started resolving. And then yada yada, I wrote the book, and now I'm talking to you.
It was a great journey. So tell us then, Kristen Ulmer, what's next for you? You have a Ski to Live program, right? Will there be, you know, more things along this line of dealing with fear in your future?
What I have decided that, yes, I've spent 15 years being a mindset sports coach, but now I'm starting to help people. And my book is not about sports coaching. It's about an actual clear understanding of where depression comes from, anxiety disorders, panic attacks, irrational fear, underperforming, if your body is like the ideal host environment for illness to thrive, those sorts of problems. That's what my book addresses, like the cause of that being the repression of fear. And then the solution is to make friends with fear, become intimate with fear, these problems ease up or resolve completely. So if given the choice between helping people become better athletes or helping people with depression, the choice is really easy for me. I'm going to do the latter. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually backing away from ski camps. Mm. I'll probably do one or two a year just on the subject of fear. But other than that, what I'm working on is I just have a ton of content on my website to support people on their journey towards making friends with fear and stopping the madness of repression.
Kristen Ulmer, author of the book, The Art of Fear, Why Conquering Fear Won't Work and What to Do Instead. It's just been a pleasure talking to you. We're going to put links to where to find you. We'll put links up to the website material, all that you've got there. And again, I just encourage my audience to check out this book, The Art of Fear. It's an excellent book. Thank you so much, Kristen Ulmer, for joining us.
Thank you. And can I say one more thing?
Oh, absolutely.
So life is going to throw you problems, but if you get good at feeling your emotions and dealing with negativity and fear in an inclusive way, you're just going to be able to handle things so much better.
That's great. That's really powerful, and appreciate it. Thanks so much for that, as well as everything else. And I could talk to you for a long time. I'd love to talk to you about skiing for forever. So thanks, Kristen.
Thank you.
My thanks to Kristen Ulmer, and to learn more about Kristen, her work, her fear specialist for all expertise, please check out her website, kristenulmer.com. And to find out more about the American Heart Association research, go check it out at heart.org. Or you can find everything on the Not Old Better Show website. And thanks to all of you, my wonderful audience, for your charming, encouraging, and advice-driven emails with show and topic suggestions. Please keep them coming at info@notold-better.com. Join me for our next show, another great one, as we talk about better, the Not Old Better Show. Thanks, everybody. And oh, please remember to check out genealogybank.com/NOBS for great genealogy newspaper articles, history, and data, and to support the show. That's genealogybank.com/NOBS. Thank you